Blog Talk Radio.
How to reach the masses, men of every bird, form and answer. Jesus gave the key. Oh, the world is hungry for the living bread. Oh, Lord, lift up the Savior for men to see. And he said,
and stomp your feet. Need somebody to help us lift Jesus up so all will be drawn to him. This is Bishop Dr. Gregory Scott thanking you once again for being with us this evening. It is my distinct pleasure and honor to introduce yourself and present to others Pastor Patricia Benjamin.
Amen, amen, amen. Dr. Scott, I need somebody to help me lift Jesus. Oh, good evening to those of you out in Radio Land. It is indeed a lovely day in the neighborhood. I know it's gotten dark outside, and we've crossed over from morning into afternoon and from afternoon into evening, and truly it has been a lovely day. On today, it's been raining outside, but it's also been raining down in my soul. I felt the very presence of God while I was sitting at lunch, having my lunch on today, and I'm sitting at the table, and all of a sudden, I felt the anointing of God. I felt his presence while I was sitting at the table in TGI Fridays. I'm telling you, we used to sing a song, take the Lord along with you everywhere you go. And it was just a blessing. It was just a good feeling to feel his presence. And I thank God for it. Dr. Scott reminded me as I was eating, he said a little while ago, you were speaking in a another language. And yes, I was speaking in my heavenly language. I wasn't unseemly with it. I didn't disturb anyone else inside of the place. But all of those that was in that place at the time that I was in there, they all got blessed because the anointing of God walked through that place, and they don't know what happened. Oh, it is a lovely day. It is a blessed day. It is a good day to be alive and know the name of Jesus. There's none like him. Like to say a big good God bless you out to all of the veterans, those that fought in the war, whether you fought in the war, whether you worked, you was a dispatcher, or whether you was the mailman in the service. But thank God for your service, whatever it was that you did in whatever branch that you were in, whether you were a Marine or an Air Forceman or an Army guy, a sailor, Navy, whatever, however it go, all of the different compartments that make up the United States of America Armed Forces, I thank God for you on today. And it's just a blessing. Oh, how well it is. Oh, how precious is the name of Jesus. I tell you, I had an eye test done on today, and I remember back in the day, I can recall back in the 80s when I had problems with my eyes, and the doctor wasn't hopeful, and they wanted to declare me legally blind, and I went to God, and I said, Lord, I need to be able to see where I'm going. I need to drive for myself. I don't need someone to have to take me around. I don't want to have to sit around and wait for someone to come and pick me up. And I said, God, you've got to do it for me. You've got to heal my eyes. And thus far, I had visual tests done on today, field tests done on today. And the doctor told me that there is no bleeding in the back of the eyes. There is no retina problems going on. There's no glaucoma going on in the eyes. He said, there's no macular degenerate going on in your eyes. Your eyes look good. He said, there are some cataracts, but they're not bothering you. They're small, and we won't bother them. I tell you, I threw my hands up in the doctor's office, and I bless God for the goodness and his benefit that he loads us with daily, how he keeps us and how he takes care of us. He says healing is the children's bread. And I thank God for the healing on tonight. Oh, bless his name. Oh, bless his name. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Oh, I thank God tonight for Jesus, and I thank Jesus for his blood. Oh, he makes a difference. I thank him for it. And I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. I began to sing earlier before I left home to go to the doctor. Victory is mine. If I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battle for me, victory shall be mine. And there's another song with victory. It says, victory is mine. Victory today is mine. I told Satan to get thee behind, because victory today is mine. And that's what we have to do when we're children of God. There's times that the enemy will come in on us and make us feel like God is dead when it comes to us. When it comes to my problem, my circumstance, my situation, the devil would make you feel as if the God that you trust is dead. Oh, but you got to remind the devil that victory is mine. I got to tell Satan to get thee behind, because victory today is mine. He'll make it all right. We just got to trust him no matter what we cannot see. We got to trust him that we see it and we see it finished. I feel good tonight down in my sanctified soul. It's good to have a God who's with us. Oh, way. I tell you, Dr. Scott, I feel Jesus in this place. I feel Jesus down in my soul on this evening. God, you're worthy to be praised. God, we thank you for life. We thank you, God, for everything. Oh, you fix the crooked places. You make them straight. God, we thank you. Oh, bless his name. Those of us that went out to vote, and if your guy won, you need to throw your hands up and tell God thank you, because your voting was not in vain. I tell you, I feel good. I feel real good. I tell you, I want to apologize for last week. I was full with what I was dealing with, but my bishop passing away, but my sister had mentioned to me she believed that the church mother had a loss in her family, and I didn't mention it on last week, but I want to send out my condolences to Ma Janie, who I have adopted for Glory United Ministries Church Mother, and that our prayers and our thoughts are with you, even though the funeral may be over or the memorial may be over, but the residue of the loss is still yet fresh and young on our hearts. So I pray for you that God will give you the strength to endure hardness as a good soldier, that he will take you through to the next dimension, that it won't cause you to stop trusting in him, but you'll keep on believing no matter what it looked like. God, we thank you for giving her strength in her body even now. God, we just bless your name. And God, while I'm praying for mother, my niece, Tanya, who had surgery on yesterday, God, I thank you that I prayed for her before she went down. And I already know that you got your hand on my knees, and that everything is going to be all right. She will come home at the appointed time, God, because you're with her. And I ask you, God, even to give my sister, which is her mother, strength, because no mother like to know that their child is sick. No mother like to know that their child is sick. God, I need you to give my sister the strength. I need for you to have her to tell the Lord, thank you for what you've already done. Thank you for what you're about to do. Thank you for keep on keeping on. God, bless them indeed and enlarge their territory. God, I just want to give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. You said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. Tonight, God, we're not begging for bread. We have not been forsaken. We have not been forgotten. You are Savior, you are Lord, and you are God. And for everyone whose name I did not call, you are their Savior, you are their Lord, and you are their God. You know what everyone needs. You know how to fix it like it ought to be. You know how to supply the right amount of whatever it is that we need. You know what time to move when it's time to move. God, we bless your name on tonight. We thank you, Father, for moving. Thank you for your outstretched hand. Thank you for being there for us tonight, oh God. We just want to lift your name on high. We want to lift you up for men to see. We want the world to know that our God is an awesome God, and he does not fail at no time. Whether it be in sickness or in death, he's an awesome God. He does not fail. He will not fail. He will not forget us. He will not leave us. He said he will not leave us nor forsake us. God, we thank you that we can stand on your word. We can bank on your word, because you are not a man that you should lie, neither the son of man that you have to repent. God, we thank you on this evening. Hallelujah, Jesus. I feel Jesus. Hallelujah. Down in my sanctified soul, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. I just want to tell you that I love you, Lord, and I won't take it back because you've been so good to me. Oh, God, you're great. The best is yet to come. You ain't seen your best days yet. Abashi, you haven't seen what God is about to do for you. He's turning it around. Thank you, Jesus. He's turning it around, but you're going to have to bless him for it. You're going to have to praise his name for it. You're going to have to walk upright in the presence of God. He's going to turn this around. In fact, the reason why we say he's going to turn it around, he's already turned it around. But we say going to because you haven't seen the manifestations yet. So as far as you're concerned, he's going to turn it around. But God said, I've already released what it is that you need. And because you haven't seen it manifest yet, it's being turned. It's changing. But when you see the change, you'll be able to say he did it just like he said he would. You can mark this date down on your calendar, and in many days hence, you'll be able to testify just what he said he would do. You asked him, and now he's going to prove to you that he heard you and that he's able to bring you out of your valley situation. Oh, my God. You ain't seen your best days yet. Live on. It's not time for you to die. Don't even try to lay down and die. It is not your season to die, but it is your season, saith the Lord, to live and to declare that he's alive and well, and that he is a healer, and that he is a waymaker. He's a provider. He's all of those things. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Nisi. He's the God that is with us. He said that I am that I am. Oh, my God, how can you lose with the I am that I am on your side? Ooh, I feel Jesus on the inside. You ain't seen nothing yet. Your best days is yet to come. I tell you, I thank God for Jesus on tonight. COVID is on the rise again. But God is not dead. He's yet alive. God is not dead. He's yet alive. Come on, clap your hands. God is not dead. He's yet alive. I can feel him in my hand. I can feel him in my feet. I can feel him all over me. Come on, sing with me. God is not dead. Yeah, he's yet alive. Come on, get it. God is not dead. Well, he's yet alive. Come on, people. God is not dead. Woo! He's yet alive. I can feel him in my hand. I can feel him in my feet. I can feel him all over me. I tell you, God is not dead. He is yet alive. I can feel him in my hand. Hey, feel him in my feet. I can feel him all over me. My God, the best is yet to come. You ain't seen your best days yet. It ain't over. No, we're not going with it ain't over till the fat lady sing. We ain't worried about the fat lady singing or the skinny lady singing. It ain't over because God said it ain't over. So the fat lady don't have to sing. skinny lady don't have to sing, or the fat man don't have to sing, or the fat skinny man don't have to sing. God said, it's going to be all right. So that you can take that to the bank. That's a deposit that God is making on your behalf. It's all right. God is making a deposit concerning you and your situation. So the wait for the fat lady to sing. Trust God that he got you. Got your back. God got you. Back to back, front to front, side to side. He's got you covered. He's got you and me, sister, in his hand. He got you and me, brother, in his hand. He got the whole world in his hand. He got the whole world in his hand. God is not afraid of COVID-19. Because sickness comes from the devil. Mm-hmm. That was what was on that tree in the garden. Well, God told him, don't mess with this. Don't touch this. Leave that tree alone. I have given you everything you need in this garden. But leave that alone. Don't touch this. And the devil came and enticed Eve to go against God's orders. Told her, ain't nothing going to happen to you. He's not going to kill you. You won't die. Come on and taste of this. And she, like many of us, have allowed the enemy to deceive us. Come on, you can do it. It's all right. God understands. That's the line we use nowadays. Oh, God understands. Well, I was just sinning last night. God understands. I look here, I was tempted on yesterday, sissy. I went into the store to pick up some almond milk. And I had a $50 bill. And I needed to make change for the $50 bill for Friday. Because one of the saints is having chitling dinner on Friday, Sister Franklin. And I told her that I would get two dinners from her. I said, and I will come with the exact change. Because it's nothing more than my Deacon Gill, used to get up on Sunday morning and say, don't come up here with no $20 bill. Don't come up here with no $50 bill. When you all have went to the grocery store on Friday, Saturday, some of you got paid Thursday, you had time to get your money changed at the grocery store. You went to the bank. You had time to get your $20 bill changed at the bank. You're only putting $2 in the offering. And you come up here with a $20 bill and you want $18 back. So then you come and I make change for you. Now here come three, four more people that need a bill changed. And he said, you know what? The next time you all come up here with a $20 bill and only put $2 or $5 in your offering, he says, I'm not making change for you. I'm taking the whole $20 bill. He said, because it doesn't make sense. You can stop at 7-Eleven and buy a pack of gum. Get you some mints, lifesavers. Pick up a roll of lifesavers on your way to church and get change for your 20. Get change for your 50. So when you get to church and you know you're only giving the $5 in the offering, you'll have the exact money. But you know, Deacon Gill broke that up because they really started getting their change because they was afraid that they weren't going to get the $15 back or the $18 out of that 20. But I went to the store yesterday and I got the almond milk. I had $2. It was only $1.49. I had $2 I could have given the young man. But I thought about it. I said, I need to get this change for Sister Franklin for my dinners on Friday. So I gave the young man the $1.50, which I was only due back, I mean, the $50 bill, I was only due back $48 and some change, 51 cents. And he gave me back my $50. I said, young man, I need change. I need two tens and some 20s. If it's okay, if you can do that in your drawer, I said, because I'll need to give someone $30 on Friday. And he said, I can do that. And he gave me two 20s, two 5s, well, that's 50, and two 1s, and 51 cents. Now, the enemy tempted me. He said, keep it. He don't know what he did. Or he need to pay attention to what he did. Some people would have said, honey, the Lord bless me. But for $1.49, come on here. I'd rather be on the good side of God than be on the outside looking. Because God will watch what we do. He'll watch what we say. And I said to Dr. Scott, I said, look here, I got to go back in the store because this boy gave me too much money. He said, what do you mean? I said, look, I gave him a $50 bill, and he gave me $52.51 back. I said, this is not right. And I'm going back in here and give him this money back so he can give me the right, give me my money back right. Take the $5 back and give me a dollar. It's a lot of people, church folks, would have went on and said, well, honey, that was a blessing. No, thou shalt not steal. See, we like to knock folk that's committing adultery and committing fornication and lying and all of those things. We like to jump on people about. And so what was that? What I have done? If I had kept that money, then I would have been guilty of the commandment. I would have been stealing. And do you not know the Bible says if you break one of the commandments, if you break just one, you are guilty of them all. Had I had kept that $5, I would have became a murderer. I would have became a thief, of course. I would have became an adulterer. I would have became a whoremonger. I would have became a fornicator. I would have become all that is in that whole list. It ain't worth it. I'd rather have Jesus more than anything. Well, they would say, well, could you have turned in if he'd have gave you $500 back? Yes, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm not going to do like the devil told Eve, eat. God won't kill you. You will not surely die. But the minute that she ate of that fruit that was forbidden, I don't remember reading that it was an apple, orange, or a pear. It just said the forbidden fruit. But when she did that, all of this chaos and destruction, the reason why you got a pain in your butt is because Eve and the devil caused this. Eve did it. Mm-hmm. And it got worse. God could have forgiven her because he said, I made her the weaker vessel. She's weaker than the man. The man, I made him to be strong and stand up for what's right. So she went and enticed her husband and said, look at me. I'm not dead. Come on and join me in disrespecting and just not being obedient to what God has spoken. God has given them everything. So Adam, he ate. And when Adam ate, that's when God called him by his name. And he ran and he hid and covered himself because that's when he knew he was naked. He was naked in the garden and so was Eve. They both were naked. They didn't need any clothes. I don't care. I don't care how many suits you got in your closet. I don't care how many pairs of shoes you got in your closet. Watch it now. You were born naked. That's why Job said, naked I came and naked I leave. You were born, every baby I know, whether they came foot first or head first, didn't have a drop of clothes on. None. Think my niece Tanya came foot first. But she's here. Thank God for her. I love her to life. Most babies come head first. But my point is, they had no clothes on. And guess what? Naked and not ashamed. But God didn't have any clothes on Adam. Adam was not even aware that he was naked. I mean, you know, come on. It's the body that God gave me. And it's beautiful. Nothing bad about the body. Eve had on no clothes. They were beautiful, wonderfully made in the eyesight of God. But the moment that Adam sinned, he became aware that, whoa, what's going on with me? I look different. God called him, Adam, come here. And he ran and he hid and he covered up himself with leaves and stuff. He was naked and ashamed. Why? Because now he has separated himself from God. God said, I could have dealt with the woman messing up, which was not a good thing. But you, Adam, you disappoint me. That's, I could expect that from her because she's the weaker vessel. But you, Adam, I made you first. And I gave you help so you wouldn't be by yourself. And you allowed your help to cause you to sin against me. Now you go work. Every time you had to get up and go to work on your job, Adam did that to you. That was a part of the curse for going against God's order. Every time we go against God's order, we put ourselves under a curse. And then Eve, poor soul, every month that I had my cycle, I felt just like digging Eve up and killing her again. Because God said that we would have a cycle and that it would not be pleasant. It would be painful. God also said in childbearing, now you two, you got to come together. Before I would have given you your children. Now you got to come together. And it's going to be painful. I'm going to make you mindful of how you hurt me when you listen to the devil and didn't obey me. Lord, this was not my message tonight, but somehow or another I ended up here, so I'll stay here. Oh, God. We cannot go around just hurting God because we think he understands. Sin is of the devil. Sickness is of the devil. Let's put it where it belongs. Why is God allowing me to have all this pain? Sin caused that. Come from the devil. Sickness comes from the devil. My hip gone out. The devil. Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. He called himself killer. You remember Flip Wilson back in the day in the 70s, I think it was. He was on TV. And he was so, oh, the devil made me do it. I woke up the other morning. My tailbone felt just like somebody had been beating me. And I still feel it. I woke up like that. But you know what? I threw my arms up and I began to bless God. See, I made the devil mad because he thought that my pain would be so uncomfortable, my butt. My pain would be so uncomfortable that I would not praise and bless God. But I began to bless God, pain and all. because I know without a shadow of a doubt, God got me. And he's going to take care of whatever ailing. I won't say it like that, but just say my pain, because I really wanted to say whatever's wrong with my butt. He will fix it. He'll make it all right. Dr. Scott, I would like to hear Paul Morton. And we're going to be done in a little while. I'd like to say just a second, Dr. Scott, before you play Paul Morton, that I was scheduled to come into South Carolina for the Thanksgiving holiday. They are advising against the travel. In fact, they are telling you only do your dinner with those that live within your household, because that's how bad this second wave is. And really, be honest, it's a spirit. You can't see it. You don't know if you went into Walmart and you touched that carriage and they tell me that that COVID is on your hands for 9 days. Now, you don't know. You innocent with your mask on and on. You don't know that that carriage got COVID. But you touch it. Take your hand up to your face, not even thinking. Get back to your car and take, coming out of the store, you reach up and take your mask off. There you have just infected yourself. You were not aware of that. You'll go to the next store. And then you'll get home. And folk come to your house. And here it is. It's a spread. It's like peanut butter just spreading all over. So they tell you to use caution. Only be with your household. And so next year, they guarantee they'll have this thing under control and you can enjoy being piled up with it. How are you going to social distance in the house and the household, 10 people, and we got 22 folks in the house? Where you going? Where you going to grab your plate and go sit in the bedroom and eat it? Well, what if you have to use the bathroom? Somebody went in there before you and you can pick it up. So let's be careful, saints. This is a Thanksgiving holiday, but let me just tell you this. I thank God every day. I may not have turkey every day, but I give thanks to God every day. I don't have to wait for the fourth Thursday in November to thank God. I don't have to wait for the fourth Thursday in November to eat with my family. I don't have to wait for that day. I give thanks every day. I'm disappointed that I couldn't get there because I was really looking forward to being with my sister, enjoying her nice dressing that she makes, should be in the store on sale, and her sweet potato pies. I was looking forward to cut me a big piece of that pie and cross my legs and sit down and enjoy it. I'm looking forward, oh my God, for my niece Tanya. She's already told me, Auntie, I'm going to fry some fish. And Auntie, I'm going to make some lasagna. This is all before Thanksgiving Day. And she said, Auntie, I'm going to make my carrot cakes. And Auntie, I'm going to make them ribs with slide right off the bone. You don't even have to chew them. Just swallow them. Shucks. Only reason why you want to chew them is because you want the taste to stay longer in your mouth. I mean, she, look, I was going to help some. Not much. I was going to help some. I was going to go in the kitchen and make the apple pie that I was going to make. And I like to do red cabbage and that sort of thing. And I was going to cook a corned beef to go along with it, the turkey and the ham and all that stuff and the fresh string beef. But we're not able to, I'm not able to be there to do that. They can still go ahead on with their menu. I'll do the best I can here in Delaware. But I want all of you all to be safe. Please be careful. Put on the gloves to go in the store. And then let's take the gloves off and throw them in the garbage. Use your hand sanitizer. Wipe the key off because you're touching your key. Do everything to stay safe. Stay away from the store. Go to the store one time, make a list, get everything you need so you don't have to go back. Try to stay home if you can. And if not, ask God to cover you with his blood. But you know, sometimes God won't, because you can be foolish. See, we're not supposed to tempt God. If they say don't do something, then just don't do it. You'll be all right. you'll be all right. Because I hear that that stuff ain't no joke. You're laying up in the hospital, you can't breathe. One lady in New York said she had it, and she worked in a nursing home. And she caught that mess, and she was home quarantined, and she said she couldn't breathe. She said that was a frightful feeling. She said she could not breathe. And thank God the child was saved. And she just said, Lord, I'm dying. And she said she heard the voice of God tell her, put the window up. And she put the window up in her house there, and she stuck her head out of the window. And the air outside began to flow through her nostrils and got into her lung and her airways, and the girl began to breathe. She's living today. I talked to her on yesterday. We had a good time on the phone. Paul Morton, I'm ready. I'll get to South Carolina. I had some little gifts I wanted to give the saints, but I will get them to you if I have to mail them to my sister, and she will be able to have you to come pick them up, or she can do a drive-by, sit them on your porch, and keep it moving because I want to keep my sister safe. Dr. Scott?
You may think that it's over, that your life is done.
Your past,
oh my,
is yet to come.
Don't sweat the challenge. Your battle's already won. Listen, y'all. See, God writes the end before the story begins. Oh, he told me to tell you the best. As the author of your faith, he wrote a provision for you to win. You're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
I don't care what people told you, you ain't seen no
best. You ain't seen your best days.
Oh, what a... My brother, my brother, my brother. What you know? Is on the way. I see you eagle. I see you flying high. Ooh, you ain't seen nothing. You ain't seen nothing. You ain't seen nothing. I know you ain't think that you have. God told me to tell you. You gotta keep on fighting. Keep on praying. You ain't seen nothing.
Yeah.
time as I was in my church on Sunday, and I heard the preacher got up to preach. He brought the message on Sunday at my church, and he came out of the third chapter in the book of Daniel. And I know many of you have been in church for years, and the Bible has not changed, and these same stories are there, but it was just something different about this story on Sunday, and it just had my utmost attention. In fact, I said to the pastor, and I told Dr. Scott, I said, the boy was actually preaching like me. You all have not heard me preach like that. And I tell you, that young man, he walked the floor with the word of God. And I said, you know what? I think I might just touch on that just a little bit on Wednesday night. And I had my eyes dilated today, and I'm not seeing clearly. I wish I had a reader on the line to read it. So I'm going to try to stumble through. We don't have long to go before it'll be time for us to get off the air. Let's go to Daniel, the third chapter. I will not read it in its entirety on tonight, but you can always read this in its entirety, and you can read it over and over and over and over and over again. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dor in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, set together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriff, and all the rulers of province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Then the princes, the governor, captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of this of the province were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then an herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whosoever falleth not down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet and flute and all of the things that was mentioned, when they heard of all of these things, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Oh, my God. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, psaltery, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image, and whosoever falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affair of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, psaltery, and all the kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast into the same hour into the midst of the burning fire furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Oh, my God. The question is being asked, who will deliver you? If you refuse to obey the law of the land, which King Nebuchadnezzar had set it up, that if you follow his commandments, you will escape the fiery furnace. But the Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, would not bow to his God. They were not going to worship the golden image. They would not stoop that low. They would not disrespect the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham, and the God of Jacob. They would not forsake their God, the capital G-O-D God. They wouldn't do it. They'd rather die than switch. They'd rather die than be a part of the devil. They'd rather die than to become a part of the devil's worship. So they wouldn't bow. Even after the king had talked to them and assured them that if you do not do what I command, this is the consequence. They rather suffer the consequence of going to die than to fail their God. Oh, I love it. My God. And that's where God wants to get us. That no matter what it looked like, he is able. Because you'll see where he is able. Oh, yes. All right, let's read on. Therefore, because the king's command was so urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flames of the fire slew. My God, I'm glad I wasn't working for the king. It slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The fire was so hot. It was a real fire. It was so hot, could you just imagine you going to take someone under the order of the king and put them in a fiery furnace that was hot enough that when you opened the door, it consumed the men that had the job of putting them. You can't mess with God, people, because he'll get those who's trying to hurt you. God will take care of you, and he'll take care of them. Let's read on, and we'll close in a few minutes. I'm loving it. The flame slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bowed into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto the counselors, did not we cast three men down into the midst of the fire? Now, he's really puzzled now. But he answered and said unto the king, true. Okay, it's the truth. We did put three of them in there. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose. So the men that they had bound, they had put chains and balls and stuff on their hands and their feet so they couldn't escape. They were bound by the chains and the balls that was on their hands and on their feet. They could not run if they wanted to. They could not fight the men that was taken in there if they wanted to. But when the king looked into the fire, he said, hold up here. Did we not put three men in the fire? And they said, it's true, king. Yes, it was. Three, weren't they bound? Yeah, they were bound, king. Yes, they were. It's true, they were. But check it out. I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth looked like the Son of God. I want to encourage you on tonight. When the devil set up a trap for you, if you would continue to stand fast in what you know is right to do, you stand fast in what's right. God got your back. But you got to stand for what's right. Because if you don't, you will be consumed by the devil's fire. And God will not help you. But if you're standing up for God, if you're standing up for what's right to stand up, God got you. There ain't no fire that can consume you. Stand up for what's right. Bless his name. Preach about Jesus to your household. Get your house in order. Come on now. God is soon to come. The best is yet to come. Oh, my God, I said I wasn't going to read it in its entirety, but this, that 20, I believe it's the 25th verse, it said, he answered and said, lo, I see four men loosed, walking in the midst of the fire. I knew that blew his mind. I would not have wanted to be King Nebuchadnezzar, because I'm sure he just freaked out when he saw that. Listen now, hold up here. I'm not visioning prayer. But the other one looked like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. He recognized God. Come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. I'm not going to read anymore. I'm going to stop right there because I want you to read it. Finish the story. Finish the story. But I just wanted you to see that no matter how high they turn up the problems for you to deal with, God will be in there with you when you're right. When you're wrong, he take no part in your wrongdoing. But when you're right, he will get, he did he take the heat out of the fire? No, he didn't. It consumed those three men. He just got in the fire with them, and he put a shield around them. Dr. Scott, can you pull up Fred Hammond with Jesus? We'll close out with Jesus. Be a fence all around me. I dedicate that to all my listeners and to my sister Jackie especially, the sister Rita and the church mother, all of my listeners in South Carolina, and those of you that just might listen all over the world. We want Jesus in this COVID situation here. And with our new president-elect coming into office, we want Jesus to be a fence all around us every day. God bless you until next week. God be the glory. Amen. Are you with me, Dr. Scott? Sometimes it's the screen. That's the wrong song, Dr. Scott.
Don't sweat the challenge. Your battle's already won. Yeah.
Well, I
just
played what came up.
Listen, y'all. See, God writes the end before the story begins. Oh, he told me to tell you the best. As the author of your faith, he wrote a provision for you to win. You're a winner, you're a winner, you're a winner.
Yeah. You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
You ain't seen your best days yet.
I don't care what people told you, you ain't seen the
best. You ain't seen your best days.
Oh, well,
can we
get
the down,
COVID, Dr. Scott? Hey, in the word, my brother, my brother, my brother, my brother. What you know, woman? Is on the way. I see you eagle, I see you flying high. Ooh, you ain't seen nothing, you ain't seen nothing, you ain't seen nothing. I know you may think that you have, but God told me to tell you, you gotta keep on fighting, keep on praying. You ain't seen nothing.
Amen. We thank God for Darryl Coley coming in to tell us, it shall be done unto you. Amen.